B-Pod Studios.
This is WWE superstar Liv Morgan, and you're listening to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley. Guys, it's time, so watch me.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes is presented by Boom Boom Games in Billerica. Check them out. Mike Riley, I want to start the show by thanking some people. I know we usually do this type of stuff at the end of the show, but let's open with a big thank you to the WWE, their performers, their staff for a great experience on Sunday afternoon. I've already stumbled over my words and it's, 9:15 in the morning. So let's thank the WWE, their performers, their staff for a great experience on Sunday afternoon. My grand idea of recording our live reactions failed. Because why, Mike? Because we were all having fun.
Right.
And that was the point of Sunday. And I was trying to work into it and it didn't work out. So that 5 minute chunk of show where I was like, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do this. Fail. Epic fail. I failed. Sorry. So first, thank you to Andy Wong for his company and his hospitality at Kowloon. And I think Andy had the most fun of all of us where he got the big high five from Dolph Ziggler during the match. And Dolph reminded him during the match that, hey, Andy, I'm working here. Leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
Our friend Lauren Founds, who owns Bell to Bella's and is part of the Founds team at Next Home Beacon Realty, which is the company that her and her wife, Mary Ellen, run. They had kind of a tough week last week, so Lauren had some fun. She had some enjoyments. I think she got a kick out of Liv Morgan, which we'll get to Liv Morgan in a second. But I think she had fun with all the wrestling matches. So thank you for your company, Lauren, and continued success with your realty company and your website, Bell to Bella's, which you want to check out for a more female perspective on the world of pro wrestling. Billy Smith. Want to give a big thank you to Billy Smith, who is one of WWE's VIP and travel consultants. He runs the WWE VIP Superstar Experience that we gave a hard push to last week. And because of Billy, Billy and his staff, we got to meet Bobby Lashley, Damian Priest, and Liv Morgan. And I think Liv Morgan, in the span of 35 minutes, Mike Riley, and 35 minutes and 88 VIPs, made a believer out of so many people. She had so much energy. She was just like a ball of fire and positive energy and all that stuff. And those three were part of our pre-show meet and greet. And so I think Liv Morgan created a lot of fans out of that. And by the way, she did confirm that her and I were flirting on a podcast last week for 10 minutes. And yes, that is silly. Because
it's amazing. You ripped her the week before, but she forgot about that. That's unbelievable. Let's just call a spade here, James.
So Mike, as I explained to you,
I'm giving you hell. I'm just saying, I said that was a good match and you ripped her. You are a phony. You're a phony.
No. Here's my justification.
Yeah, okay.
For this,
that's
Mike.
All right. It's okay.
Right. Here's my justification.
Yeah.
So when I'm asked to do a conversation with Liv Morgan, what's the objective? The objective is to promote the show.
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
Promote the upcoming show, what she is.
Yep.
When you and I are doing a show, or you, Joe, and I are doing a show, or you and the New Age Insiders and I are doing a show, the job is to give commentary on the product.
Yes. Yeah.
They're two different shows.
I understand. I was just saying that I told her that, hey, I hope you know Jimmy ripped you behind your back. And she said, he is a phony. I agree.
I don't think she said that because I was standing right there and I didn't hear that part of the conversation.
Oh, God.
You're like, Liv, I love you. Your match was so great with Becky. Oh, it was the match of the night.
Damn right. And she goes, there are many more to come in 2022.
It should also be noted that.
But to your point, Jimmy, she had a fantastic interaction with people just like that. So to your point, that's exactly it. I'm sorry. Were you going to say noted what?
It is worth noting that while she confirmed she was flirting with me for 10 minutes on a live podcast.
Yes.
And yes, I know that's silly. And there's a photo of her flirting with me at ringside too. She told Lauren outright that she loved her.
Nice.
So Lauren gets one up on all of us.
Yeah. Good. God love her.
So that is my recap from Sunday. Mike, how did you enjoy your WWE Boston experience?
Yeah, no. And I think you hit the nail on the head, Jimmy, thanking all the appropriate people, especially Billy Smith. And I'm glad you said that there for all the hard work he does. And you and I have had VIP experiences with him in the past. Andy Wong has as well. And Billy, you've gotten to know the last few years, really good guy. And if you've never done a VIP experience, folks, this is not, we're not making money from WWE in this, James or I, as far as we know. But
as far as you know, I'm on everybody's payroll. You name your price and I will do your selling point.
I'll join you there. Bottom line here is that it's a great experience and definitely recommend it. If you're a wrestling fan, you get to go behind the scenes, you get to meet people and so forth. It's awesome. And, you know, the fact that this was a super show too is pretty cool to see Raw and SmackDown. It's confirmed that they're going to go back to the split brands. So Boston lucked out on that.
I don't think that's confirmed, but hey, break some news, Mike.
There you go. When
you want to go all into the details or.
When wrestling news breaks, we break it. So it's probably going to happen this spring. So it's pretty cool when you have both.
So, Mike, I'll clean up the news. In March. These live events, they're going to Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
So if you're waiting for the brand split to end,
and it could happen,
the schedule that's going to come out for WWE is going to have a Raw house show and a SmackDown house show. And that's starting sometime in March. So that's starting before WrestleMania.
That's it. That's exactly it. So I'm just saying the Boston folks lucked out on that to have a super show to see all of the guys from SmackDown, some of the guys from SmackDown and Raw. And it's just really nice to see, you know, during a pandemic with people comfortable to go out if you have that comfort zone to go out there and, you know, have a good time, just to turn life off. It's always enjoyable in a situation like this during these crazy times. And Bobby Lashley, like you said, that was a high honor for me to meet him. I think Damian Priest is the future real deal in WWE, and Liv Morgan, just a fabulous person, James, as you mentioned there. And just it was nice to interact with fans and so forth, too, people coming up to say hello. I'm with you. I'm kind of glad we didn't do the recording. I wanted to enjoy some time off and just have a good time, which we did. And front row, if you've never done it, definitely do it, folks. Highly, highly recommend it.
Yeah, I know from talking to some people there was a little bit of sticker shock on the price.
Not bad, though, when you think about it.
But, like, the experience, if you've never done it, like, I think it's worth it at least one time to get some sort of front row and access. Yeah. And they have this walk the aisle thing. So I took a bunch of goofy photos. You know, in front of the entryway and at the ring. I was trying to do my best Diesel and Randy Orton impressions. And then you know, just to have some fun, right?
Have some fun.
All the photos that I took are a little over the top goofy, but it was like,
but you're in your element.
Yeah. I'm just having fun. And,
yeah.
You know,
it's fun.
Damian Priest, by the way, one loss in 2021 in a singles match, one loss. And it was to Karrion Kross in January of last year. People don't talk about that.
Wow.
But Damian Priest as the US champion had one loss in 2021, as far as Pro Wrestling Database showed.
Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, just, you know, real quick on that sticker price, Jimmy, I know you mentioned that. I was telling a buddy of mine that's not a big wrestling fan about it. He's like, that's a really good deal. I told him the price and everything and all the stuff, then including the gift bag, the commemorative title they gave us, the mini one, the autograph book, all that stuff. That's a really good deal. You know, he's done concert VIPs behind the scenes, and so that's a steal for what we've had, for what he's had there on other music shows. So definitely do it. Awesome fun. And Damian Priest, I love the guy. Big fan.
Yeah, Damian Priest, Bobby Lashley, who is slowly turning. Although from TV, you wouldn't know it because he's in a story with Brock Lesnar, and I don't know who the good guy and the bad guy is. But, you know, I've loved Bobby Lashley's work the last probably year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So I was excited that he did one of the meet and greets. You know, Liv Morgan we talked about, and Damian Priest we talked about. So that was kind of our Sunday experience. The show was fine.
Yeah.
I actually, ironically enough, I think Liv, Becky, and Bianca Belair had the best match on the show. But the live event was a little bit different, where I think, like in the case of the main event, they were just crap talking the crowd, trying to do as little as possible and just like get the crowd involved. I think Charlotte and Naomi kind of fell into that a little bit, where Charlotte goes into a headlock and she starts trying to get the crowd to boo her, even though the crowd cheered her when she came out and did all the woos and everything.
Yeah.
And then Dolphin. Oh, Ziggler and Rollins in a match with Damian Priest and Bobby Lashley. It was your classic old school double team behind the referee's back.
Yep.
Sneaky, dirty tactics. I loved it. I appreciated that match so much.
Yep.
Good fun. So that's my final word on Boston.
Yeah, and I love the main event too. I really enjoyed that. I mean, Roman Reigns had an unbelievable pop too, even though he's your heel. But him and the Usos are so over, as we know. It was great to see Eric and Ivar, local guys here from the Boston area. Big E too, of course. He won the WWE Championship here in Boston. That was referenced in the match. Roman got some heat on that with him. And by the way, go check out our good friend Justin Barrasso's article on Big E. Did you read that yet? It was okay. Yeah, it was good. Good exclusive interview with Big E. Check it out, Sports Illustrated at SI Now. It's a really good article on Big E, how he was at the top and now how he's trying to eventually get back to the championship level. Motivation for him. So this is not the end for Big E at the championship level, folks. He's definitely trying to get back to the top of the food chain.
And we'll get to a little bit of dirt sheet speculation on Big E in a second.
Yep.
Viking War Raiders. Kind of cool for them to main event in Boston.
Absolutely.
Kind of cool for them to main event in Boston.
Absolutely. Too bad they didn't win, though. That's okay, though.
Oh, no. They're not going over Roman and the Usos. Like, if anything, it's Big E pinning one of the Usos. You know, like, right. They're not going to do that. By the way, this is actually my real last thought on Boston. So I took a video of Roman thanking the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
And there's some newsy stuff around Roman, and he's been medically cleared from COVID, but he is being extra safe. And so, like, what our understanding is, is that Roman Reigns gets to the show. He kind of hides in his bus. Hides is a little strong. He stays in his bus. Somebody goes and gets him when it's time for his match. He comes out, does the match, and then goes right back to his bus. And that is for health and safety protocols above everything else, because he's what is it called? It's called compromised immunity system, but it's got something.
Yeah,
it's got something else. It's because of his leukemia, right?
Compromise.
It's something like that. There's a medical person who's going to yell at me. My mom will call me and be like, "It's called this."
Immunocompromised
works for me.
Yes.
So Roman Reigns wants to go around and take photos with everybody and trash talk people and interact more with the crowd than he's allowed to.
Yeah.
And it's just because he needs to be safe.
Right.
And he can't risk anything happening to him because of his compromised immune system.
Immunocompromised. Yeah.
So he did a post-match speech, which I put on Twitter, and which everybody else stole without proper credit, which I was considering doing the copyright lawyer gimmick and just going after people.
Joe Haggerty did. He gave you credit.
Joe Haggerty did give me credit, but there are a lot of these other people who didn't. Like, there's somebody on YouTube stole it and has 500,000 views on it.
No.
And so I kind of want to be a jerk and get the copyright lawyer on him. But then I'm like, you know what? Like, we steal from everybody. So, like, what's the point? What am I going to take somebody to court for, like, $100?
Yeah.
Like, is that worth it?
No. I mean, at the very least, you know, I retweeted you. A lot of people, at least just do that. Just retweet it. And then that's it. It shows.
And I thought about sending an email and being like, look, pal, just credit me.
Yeah.
But what I might do next is, anytime I do some of this content, I'll just stick my little Twitter handle right across it.
Absolutely.
And we'll see how many views it does from there.
There you go. Bingo.
That's my little rant. I feel better about that because I stewed on that for a couple of days.
No, but it was a good video. And you know what? A lot of things too. I put up, Charlotte gave me a retweet. Liv Morgan did. Shameless plug, sorry. But, there are other things out there too with pictures I did. You know what I noticed, James? And I'm sure you did too. And again, I'm sorry for a shameless plug here, but I don't think I have that many darn retweets from people around the world. And that is not including Charlotte and Liv. Without those, so many European fans are looking at this right now. I don't think they can have a tour right now in Europe, right? Or they're not eligible to or something. There's so many people. It was amazing. But I'm looking at all these comments. I'm still getting it. People from Scotland, from Australia, from Germany, Canada, everyone all around the world, and they're just so into pro wrestling. It's pretty amazing to see the international flavor there, and they're just like, oh, I wish I was there. This is great. But it's really interesting to see how everyone perceives the product right now, and just I love it. I respect the passion. It's great.
Well, this is one of the big things, the difference between AEW and WWE. And I promise this will be the last thought on this, and then we'll get to real stuff instead of just us playing grab ass about how great we are and how much fun we had. WWE is a global brand.
Yes.
AEW is not a global brand as far as we know yet.
Right.
And I think that is the biggest difference between the two companies. That is one of the bigger business differences between the two companies, is that there's more, there feels to me like there's more international interaction with WWE than there is AEW.
Totally. And obviously, you know, much more well established too. And
yeah, it's a generational brand. Time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but you're right though. The definite global interaction is huge for WWE, and they ride that hot hand.
Absolutely. So enough of us grab assing.
Good time, though. Good time. Thank you, James.
Thank you, Mike. I kind of enjoyed your company.
Likewise.
Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Let's see. So let's get to the actual news. So as the Royal Rumble card is shaping up, the most interesting thing that I've read, comes from our buddy, Uncle Dave Meltzer, comes from the dirt sheets. Mm. So I didn't hear this. I didn't listen to this, but here is the stolen written version of what Meltzer said.
Yep.
Quote, the plan for day one was Seth was going to be, that's how it's written, was going to be. Going to be the WWE champion coming off of the show. Brock Lesnar was going to be the Universal champion coming off the show. So Lesnar is now the WWE champion. So I'm wondering if they're just going to go dot, dot, dot. Seth was going to defend the title on one of the WrestleMania nights, and then Lesnar and Roman were going to be for the other title on the other night. I was kind of told. So this is the, I hate
from,
these.
From Meltzer, yeah.
I was kind of told, were you told, or I'm sorry, stop. We're using this as, were you, okay, breathe. Okay. I continuing with the rewritten transcript of Meltzer, which is a struggle.
Mm.
I was kind of told, I being Dave, where it's gonna, I was kind of told it's gonna end up where it's supposed to be. So I wonder if that means they're going to switch belts, like the Universal belt with Seth goes on Raw and the WWE belt that Roman would end up with most likely. I'm going to guess, but Brock would be on SmackDown. That's exactly how it's written. So let me translate this from Recap Meltzer. What this translates to me is Brock Lesnar was beating Roman Reigns at day one. Seth Rollins was winning the WWE Championship at day one. So the switch, I think, is Seth Rollins is going to beat Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble and become the Universal Champion, and that's going to be his path to WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Lesnar is going to retain the WWE Championship over Bobby Lashley, and they will create some story as to how Roman Reigns gets a match with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, whether that is winning the Royal Rumble match or whether that is a different pathway. But that is how I translate all of this. Mike, what do you think?
So, yeah, another thing in that part of the article, I don't know if you included it, James, but there was something where Meltzer said that he doesn't, maybe you did. There was so much stuff there. I got lost in the thing, but that the plan was to stay the course, where Rollins would be in the WrestleMania main event, right? Okay. So to your point there, for Rollins to beat Roman Reigns, I'm 50-50 on this right now. I think we're going to see one title change. We're either going to see Seth Rollins as the new Universal Champion, or we're going to see Bobby Lashley as the new WWE Champion. One of the two are going to change. I don't see Roman or Brock walking out of there as champion. Both as champs at Royal Rumble. The reason why, so they can get to Brock and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, and I think it's a simple, and we can save this for the Royal Rumble preview show, but all indications, the way I'm looking at this right here via Meltzer, is that you're going to have like a screw job, I'd imagine. Roman screw Brock, Brock screw Roman, one of the two, Heyman involved. Then you get that match set up for WrestleMania. There is a little caveat here we have to look at, and it was just announced last week that WWE is going back to Saudi Arabia in February. So there's that little roadblock there where, as you know, they make those shows to be premium event material matches, right? And, of course, the indication for such a long time now is that Goldberg would return. That's an easy shoo-in right there for Saudi Arabia. Say Goldberg, Roman Reigns, for example. Piece of cake.
And that's your number one contenders match, Mike. And here's why.
Bingo.
Here's the logic behind it.
Yep.
So Roman's the former champion because he's lost the title to Seth Rollins. Goldberg's last appearance was beating Bobby Lashley, who was the challenger for Brock Lesnar. You make Roman versus Goldberg a number one contenders match. There's your stakes. And Roman goes over.
But, well, okay, so then you have him fight Seth Rollins at WrestleMania.
Who fights Seth Rollins?
Roman Reigns.
No, Roman Reigns. So WWE is still planning a Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar match for night two of WrestleMania.
Okay.
That's your main event of WrestleMania. So we have to understand and be okay with that. And figure out the pathway that they get there, because I think Big E's going to win the Rumble, and it's going to be Big E versus Seth Rollins for the WWE for the Universal Championship. That's what I think.
Okay. All right. And then, but they're both on Raw, though. Oh, yeah. Then he'll be Universal Champion Seth Rollins. Yeah, that's an easy switch.
So they'll switch the belts. So the blue belt now becomes the red belt again. And then the WWE Championship obviously stays the WWE Championship.
Okay, got it. Okay, yeah. All right, yeah. And that, now, here's another thing, too.
Your props, pal.
Right, exactly. So the other situation here, and I know we're going to talk about this, but this is where I cannot rule out the possibility of John Cena, okay? John Cena was just on The Ellen Show this past week, and he said he would be at WrestleMania weekend, both Saturday and Sunday in Dallas. Obviously, pure speculation here, but it just makes you think, listen, if you have Seth Rollins as the Universal Champion going into WrestleMania, or if you have Bobby Lashley as the WWE Champion going into WrestleMania, I am not ruling out the possibility of John Cena challenging one of those two for either title and breaking the record to become a 17-time world champion. He said he's going to be there both nights. So I think they're going to make some sort of a huge exclamation point here on John Cena. So I'm not ruling that out at all. I think that's a very big possibility here.
Oh, so there are two ways to do that. There's two ways to look at this. There's John Cena is going to be hosting WrestleMania, right? We've seen New Day host WrestleMania. We've seen other people host WrestleMania as active wrestlers, right? Or your night two main event, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, John Cena.
Yeah, but do you have to do a triple threat, though?
And it ends with Roman Reigns stacking Brock Lesnar on top of John Cena. And so for 2 years in a row, Roman Reigns will have beaten Bryan Danielson, Edge, John Cena, and Brock Lesnar in two matches. Four pins, two matches for Roman Reigns to end WrestleMania. That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, you've mentioned that possibility for a while now, but I don't know. I think if Cena's going to be there, though, I think he's the guy to be the new.
You don't need it there, Mike.
Why? It's WrestleMania.
So Cena winning 17 would be a SportsCenter headline. I got that, right?
Yeah.
Do you need it for WrestleMania, though?
Sure. It's in Dallas. You're back. You have a full capacity crowd. You know John Cena's last in-ring one-on-one match at WrestleMania? WrestleMania
34 getting squashed by The Undertaker.
Exactly. His last one-on-one WrestleMania win was what? WrestleMania 31, 2015. Okay.
Against Bray Wyatt?
Nope. Rusev.
Rusev.
Okay.
30 was Bray Wyatt. I'm sorry.
Yes, exactly. He sat out both days of WrestleMania last year. 36, he got robbed with the pandemic. He had that stupid Firefly thing. I hated that match. 35, he had the appearance of New York. He has not had a one-on-one WrestleMania in-ring win. Think about that. Since WrestleMania 31, you got a guy like John Cena, who was your flag bearer for two decades. He's coming back. You put the title on him. You put it on him in Dallas. It happens there.
And then what's your next story, Mike?
Do you work around that? He can carry that into SummerSlam. SummerSlam's earlier this year. It's in late July. You could take it off him by then, carry him into the summer. Hold on to that. Have people chase Cena. Roman can go right after him again, and then Roman be your champion again. That's fine. You want the moment there. You talk about SportsCenter. You talk about all that right there of, you know, him, John Cena returning and so forth. That's his event. He is WrestleMania over the last 20 years. John Cena is WrestleMania over the last 20 years, and that would be the perfect situation right there for him to be a 17-time world champion, break the record. I'm all in on this.
I would rather have John Cena win the 17th title at Survivor Series in Boston.
That'd be cool, too. I'd have no issue with that, too. But I think it's a easy
because
way
that's a shorter run. You get Cena from November, December, January, and you have him drop at the Rumble.
Could.
But they would, WWE would need the moment more in November than they do WrestleMania weekend, I think.
Yeah. But I think
because what WWE can do is they can just pay SportsCenter, pay ESPN or brand partner or whatever, and just be like, oh, well, Roman did this and Edge did this and Seth Rollins did this, so put them on the Today Show. Put them on SportsCenter.
Well, the Today Show. Yeah, the Today Show, and there's also, you know, you look at the two-night situation there for WrestleMania where they tease, okay, John Cena's in this match tomorrow night on Saturday. He'll be on this match tomorrow night on Sunday. More viewership that way and just help out. They're going up against the Final Four on that Saturday, so, you know, it's going to be very interesting on that perspective as well, but I think that whatever they can, a powerhouse, you got to throw all of your money in here on this if you're going to do that with John Cena WrestleMania.
I appreciate your passion for John Cena in the main event. I think he should get stacked.
No, I mean, that's cool, too. I think that'd be awesome.
And then you push Cena's 17th to when you kind of need it, which is maybe SummerSlam, maybe Survivor Series, something like that. But here's my question.
Yeah.
If Seth Rollins is to win over Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble, are you okay with Seth Rollins beating Roman Reigns for the Universal title and really ending the Tribal Chief run as Universal Champion?
Yeah, in a way, because you know why? They were once partners on the Shield. So I think Roman obviously signs off on this too. He has to. So partners in the Shield and WWE, I think, they're okay. Obviously, I'd be okay with it, yes. But WWE, they're going into the Royal Rumble where Roman Reigns will be the longest tenured Universal Champion, breaking Brock Lesnar's record. So that record will have been broken by the time the Royal Rumble rolls around, most consecutive days as Universal Champion. I think that is the point of this whole situation right here, to break the Universal title longest reign right there. I think the only thing is, though, you have to look at if Seth Rollins is to beat Roman Reigns right here at the Royal Rumble, then how do you perceive that? You have to ask, do you perceive Roman still as the biggest, most important main event guy in pro wrestling, where he has been the last year or so? He may not have that same perception. He may not have that same feeling by fans and so forth. So you have to protect Roman in a way right there. Will he still be able to go back to the top and be as powerful and dominating as he once was as the Tribal Chief? That is a serious question WWE has to answer if they feel the need to have Seth Rollins become the new Universal Champion.
Well, and I like the idea of Seth Rollins doing it because he's got a track record of, and he said it in his promo on Monday Night Raw, which I know nobody was watching, but death taxes and Seth Rollins beats Roman Reigns.
Yep.
And I had this whole rant written out about how they wasted a Seth Rollins loss to Roman Reigns on TV, and this was the only one, and it was May 29th of 2017. And then I did more research and was like, no, Roman was beating Seth Rollins regularly on like the different international tours and things like that. But they won't mention it. But
no,
it was just something that bugged me because it could have been like this great, like long-term story.
Yep.
So in ECW, Tommy Dreamer never beat Raven until the end, until Raven went off to WCW. And they could have had a similar story where here's the Shield and Roman Reigns is this great thing who's main evented all these WrestleManias and this thing and that thing and this thing and that thing.
Yep.
But he never got a win over Seth Rollins. And it would have been a great story. And then now you've paired them back all these years later when their characters are different from what they were in the Shield. And Roman Reigns loses to Seth Rollins and there's still this, wow, Roman Reigns can't beat Seth Rollins. That's his one thing he can't do. Like Roman's beaten Brock Lesnar a couple times under weird circumstances, but Roman Reigns can't beat Seth Rollins. Like what a story. And then, you know, progress it wherever you want to do it. But eventually Roman does get the win over Seth and it's a big deal.
Sure.
Because you made it a big deal in the same way that the Undertaker streak was a big deal until Brock beats it. And we're all like, they gave it to this guy. And by the way, it was the right guy to give it to. We just didn't know it at the time.
Yeah.
So I like the idea that Rollins beats Reigns here and then Roman has to chase Brock, which Brock at WrestleMania, he hasn't beaten him. Like the Rollins cash in, which is also part of the story at 31 sure. in San Francisco.
Yep.
And then you have the fact that Seth Rollins beat Brock Lesnar at a WrestleMania in New York.
Yep.
And you have Roman who was all set up to beat Brock Lesnar in New Orleans. And Roman was bloodied and got dominated by Lesnar and didn't win. I think it was like five or six F5s. And that put away a bloody, busted up Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And the crowd was chanting CM Punk. And I think if you go back and you look at that match, that's one of the more brutal matches in WWE history. But it was at the end of a five-hour WrestleMania. And
yeah,
too long. We all know how that is.
Yep.
But you could have had this great story. But I think the end of the day, the result is the same, whether it's Roman Reigns holding up the WWE Championship or the Universal Championship. It's Roman Reigns is beating Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania in Dallas, and that's how they're closing night two. And you can blame The Rock for that.
Well, yeah, it that was the ultimate plan to have The Rock. Maybe The Rock told him last year, I'm in, and things got swerved, of course, over the summer. And, you know, that's when we found out he was not committing to it. But yeah, I mean, if that's going to be the plan, Roman versus Brock, I'm still, you know, I'll harp on the John Cena thing here. I'll keep going there until that is made official if he's in this match or not. So I'm not ruling out that possibility there, but Roman Reigns to have that chase again, for a championship where, you know, we talk about Seth Rollins defeating him at the Royal Rumble, becoming Universal Champion and Roman having the chase to be the champion again. And sure, going the whole, finish the whole circle there with Brock Lesnar, go back on him. That would be easy, an easy storyline to do that there. And maybe Heyman turns on Brock Lesnar and joins Roman Reigns once again as a tribal chief, right?
I mean, we've played it out. I think there was a Heyman turn that was expected.
Oh yeah.
I you know, who knows, because things change, pal. But I will say this, I like this path a lot better because day one, I wasn't really excited for Brock and Roman because I know that I feel strongly in saying that the end result is Roman over Brock in Dallas. And I'm okay with that. Like I've just become okay with it. I think they can do better, but they disagree and that's okay.
Yeah,
but if this is a path where we don't have to see that match before Dallas, I think it's a better path.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Twitter account WrestleVotes, it had a tweet this week that said, quote, had more than one source this weekend without me directly asking state they believe WWE will try for a quote unexpected forbidden door entrant for the men's Royal Rumble match. He adds his commentary, personally, I'm skeptical that it happens, but I can confirm WWE is at least open to the idea, which is exciting enough, end quote. And so this comes off of the announcement on Raw of the Impact Knockouts champion, Mickie James, being an entrant in the Royal Rumble match. So if the door, the forbidden door, which is a total myth, and I have this whole other rant about this forbidden door crap, do we believe that we're going to be excited for whoever WWE has plucked from Ring of Honor, Impact? Because it's not going to be an AEW guy.
No way.
Unless it's MJF, which would be mind-blowing, and it would be awesome for the wrestling fan. But like, I don't see Tony Khan being like, yep, MJF, you can go on WWE's main TV, because it's different when it's Chris Jericho with Steve Austin, right?
Right.
So there's this whole sub thing to the Mickie James thing. But this forbidden door entrant into the men's Royal Rumble match, what is it, Moose?
I know.
Like, does Moose get you excited? No.
No. But you know Michael Cole will oversell it on TV and get everyone all pumped up for it.
But will the crowd in St. Louis believe in it?
But we know that they can inject all this fan noise and so forth now. There's so much. Exactly. They've done it the last 2 weeks, even on SmackDown. It was insane. I felt like we're in the Thunderdome again. I'm like, what's going on here?
So if it's Chris Jericho, like, that's cool. That makes sense, right? Because Jericho's doing more commentary than he is working, even though he's in this thing with 2.0. So Jericho kind of makes sense.
Jericho would be awesome, but would it happen? I can't see that happening with him.
Would they do Dean Ambrose?
Oh my gosh. Now that would be a pipe bomb and a half, right? He hasn't been
I've got a book right to my right about him, how he wants to bury Kevin Dunn in the dirt, but he doesn't. So like, who is this big name out there that we're going to be excited for? And we being like the casual wrestling fan that is like, oh my goodness, they got Dean Ambrose back. Oh my goodness, they got Chris Jericho back. Cody. We did Cody 30 minutes on Cody about a month ago.
Yep.
Like, would Cody Rhodes do it? He can't because he's in COVID protocols.
Right. Right. And the Jericho thing, absolutely. The place would explode. There's no hiding behind that. I have a hard time thinking it will be an AEW star. And it's got to be an Impact one, Jimmy. It's got to be.
Mike, if they were to get Okada, if they were to get the IWGP champion Okada, does the WWE fan care about Okada?
I don't think so.
The answer is no, they don't.
Yeah.
But the internet will go nuts for it. I'm like, oh my God, they got Okada. Like, right. Tony Khan's been trying for Okada for years and they couldn't get Okada, but WWE got Okada. Like, right. That's going to be, and then you're going to get more of this WWE versus AEW, you know, you can watch it all, people. You can watch it all. You can nitpick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the point is, Mike, is that if we start setting our expectations on who's going to be a mystery entrant in the Rumble, we're going to be disappointed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right? It's going to be like Tyson Fury, who we all crapped on, or Cain Velasquez, who we all crapped on. Right?
Or another celebrity, Bad Bunny, maybe, from last year.
Bad Bunny turned out to be good, which I told you he would be because he was training at NXT.
Exactly. And that's fine. If Bad Bunny's going to be that guy, go ahead. But don't get your right. Do not get your hopes up, because otherwise it'll be a fart in church. Just don't do it. Thank you, Bruce, for that quote. Don't get the hopes up. And wrestle votes, to your point there with these guys, I'm a little ear on the side of caution with them with reporting. Maybe they just throw stuff against the wall, see if it's going to stick, get the internet talking. Obviously, they have us talking about it and everything and so forth. So you're probably doing their job. But the Mickie James thing is fascinating with the parallel there, that she's back in the Women's Royal Rumble. She goes to her Instagram saying her next step is WrestleMania. So you can't rule out something like this here for the men's side as well, for a big situation. As far as an AEW star jumping ship over to WWE, I just can't see it happening. The only close one with the Jericho, absolutely. That's a, you know, he's got the relationship with Vince and Tony so well. on the back end of his career, did the Austin podcast. That would be great. Place would explode. Everyone knows Jericho. The wrestling, WWE would absolutely explode for Jericho, no doubt. But I don't think we're going to get a big name guy like that. I just can't see that happening. A celebrity in lieu of that, sure. But not a big name guy currently in a different promotion, especially with competition as big as AEW. No way.
I was stunned that Mickie James was announced for the Rumble based on the trash bag incident when she was let go from the company and the fact that she's currently the Impact Knockouts champion. Good for Mickie James if she's getting a good payday out of this. Good for Mickie James for being like, okay, the person who did this, Mark Carano, we all think is the person who did this, is now gone.
Yes.
And somebody from WWE reached out and was like, hey, we're sorry about this. And not just the tweets from Stephanie and Triple H, like somebody authentically must have reached out and been like, hey, we're sorry. We screwed up. We have fixed that problem now. Come back, help us out, and we'll do something good for you. So what I hope is that Mickie James comes back for the Rumble and they do a tease of Charlotte and Mickie James because Charlotte needs opponents. Charlotte needs good quality opponents. Or Mickie James and Becky Lynch, Mickie James and Bayley, Mickie James and Asuka. There are potential matchups for Mickie James, who is a really good promo and a really good worker. And her WWE legacy and her career should not be summed up because some jackwagon in the PR department decided that we're going to put everything in a trash bag and just ship it off to her house.
And you know what? And I know you said you were surprised about that. Now, that is exactly why I'm not surprised about her return, because that's exactly with all that situation right there. And I think you hit the nail on the head, you know, them WWE reaching out to Mickie James to have that there. Then, I am not shocked at her being in the Royal Rumble because she, Mickie James, essentially, you know, prior to the WWE Women's Championship, the evolution of this women's situation, if you will, she was one of the cornerstones for women's wrestling, women's pro wrestling, the Divas, if you will. When they were the Divas champions and so forth, she was one of the people that laid down the groundwork for where they are. And Mickie James still has some stuff left in the tank. She's a good damn wrestler and part of Impact right now. Obviously, WWE not concerned with Impact as a direct competitor, if you will, working hand in hand like they did years ago with ECW, as we've talked about, you know, paying ECW some money and so forth. Not sure if they're doing that for Impact here, but they're not worried about Impact as a threat. If anything, this helps Impact too, to say that Mickie James is going to the Royal Rumble. I don't know how much that'll move the needle on Impact ratings, but the fact right here that she's able to cross promote is huge for Impact and WWE. Feeling sorry for what happened with the trash bag incident. There is no doubt in my mind. Mickie James comes down at the Royal Rumble, James, with a trash bag on her shoulder. Everyone's going to pop. It's going to be hysterical.
Of course. Of course. Like that. I could definitely see that happening.
And a real
just
dig.
Real quickly on this Forbidden Door thing.
Yep.
So it's like, and I get it because it's people don't know their history. And there's a whole nother rant about people not knowing history and reliving history that they don't know. Mm-hmm. So the Forbidden Door thing, Vince McMahon, senior and junior, both worked with different promoters. So the NWA champion would wrestle Madison Square Garden once a year back in the 70s when senior owned it. Yeah. Vince McMahon Jr. worked with some of the Japanese promotions, New Japan, All Japan. I'm not sure which one.
Smoky Mountain.
They would... What's that?
And Smoky Mountain.
Getting there.
Sorry. Go ahead.
In the 80s, they worked with New Japan, All Japan. I don't remember which one, but one of them. In the early 90s, it was Memphis. It was Smoky Mountain. Vince McMahon was on Memphis TV cutting early stages of Mr. McMahon promos. Throw it in your YouTube machine and you'll find Vince McMahon Memphis heel and you'll see early Vince McMahon, evil Mr. McMahon. Smoky Mountain Wrestling, not only was he funding Jim Cornette's promotion, he put the Rock and Roll Express against the Heavenly Bodies at Survivor Series 1993. Yeah. And 11-year-old James Stewart didn't care. He wanted to go get his Bret Hart foam fingers at the merchandise stand.
Yeah.
So that was his break to do it. Imagine 40-year-old now, James, walking out of a Rock and Roll Express match. Like, what are we doing here?
Right.
And it's because I just wasn't familiar with Smoky Mountain. I'm like,
well, that's exactly
what is this? Give me Men on a Mission doing the doink thing, and I'm more entertained by that because that was my wrestling fandom. With. I didn't have the same appreciation for the good pro wrestling style that I do now.
Right.
And then the ECW, like he was writing a check for ECW. Brakus needs work, so let's send him to ECW. Al Snow can do the head gimmick in ECW. Too Cold Scorpio failing as Flash Funk. Let's send him back to ECW and be Too Cold Scorpio. We can do that. We can help ECW out. Ohio Valley Wrestling. This is very similar. That was their developmental.
Yep.
So the fact that Tony Khan was working with AAA and with Impact, and he was funding the National Wrestling Alliance Women's Tournament. Neat. Vince McMahon was doing all of this stuff first. But hey, Tony, bravo. You have the internet on your side. And you have to make sure that everybody knows that you did all this. So speaking of AEW, because we're at 45 minutes and I want to keep this to an hour.
Yep.
I put out on Twitter, if AEW is tonight, it's I almost called it Impact. It's Dynamite. CM Punk against Wardlow tonight. If Wardlow wins, does MJF get credit for that win? Because per his contract, if Wardlow were to win the TNT title, that he would have to hand it to MJF. So if Wardlow beats CM Punk,
yep,
does that win transfer to MJF? Or is that another piece of the story of MJF and Wardlow? Because I think CM Punk's due for a loss here. And why not interweb it? What am I talking about? Tie it into the story of MJF, Wardlow, and CM Punk. It's a great tie-in because CM Punk got MJF disqualified last week, and so now MJF has a losing record in AEW for 2022.
Right. And the other thing, so Wardlow, say if he wins, wait a minute. MJF, what if he becomes champion, though, at some point? Okay.
Yes, they did this last week on the show, on one of the shows, Rampage or Dynamite, where they went through Wardlow's contract. And Wardlow's service contract to MJF states, which is mind-boggling, that if Wardlow wins a title, he's got to hand it to MJF.
There you go. Yep.
So the idea is, I'm sorry, I didn't explain it well. So the idea is, if Wardlow beats CM Punk, does he have to hand that win to MJF so it goes on MJF's record and not his? Or do they play this little mind game where Wardlow can be like, you know, I beat CM Punk, right? Something you haven't done, MJF. And maybe that motivates MJF to do the match with CM Punk March 5th, 6th, 7th in Orlando at their next pay-per-view.
Yep, Saturday, March 5th in Orlando. I think that's the way, that's the easy storyline right there. And Wardlow, you know, there's talk about, there was some reporting about him possibly being jumping ship to WWE, WWE interested in him. So you could get that off as the situation right there to have him out of the picture if his contract is going to be up. But I think that's the easy play right there to have MJF, you know, if he's going to be the champion there, you just hand it right over to hand the title to MJF, right, Jimmy? That's the scenario.
So there's also a scenario where MJF wins the world title and Wardlow is the TNT champion and he has to hand the TNT title to MJF. And MJF now has two belts.
Right. So you could easily do that too. How much longer is this contract up for though? It's soon, right?
I don't know.
It can't be that much longer if there's talk about that. So just the easy way out to build up CM Punk here and MJF to get to the next AEW pay-per-view. Simple storytelling here. Easy to do that. Give me more MJF and CM Punk. It's a way to do it.
And by the way, CM Punk has kind of gotten his ass kicked on these promos the last few weeks. WrestleMania line to CM Punk, like you could tell, like that got him.
It got
that
him?
Really got him.
Is it time to make him a heel now? What are we thinking here, guys? Come on.
No, I actually have a theory on this, Mike. I think CM I think CM Punk is starting to get annoyed with wrestling again.
He's just not into it.
It's not that he's not into it. I think part of the reason why he started off and people were like, oh, there's no buzz here because he's working with people. I think he was trying to find his way through, right? So now he's finding his way through and he's starting to hate things about pro wrestling again. This is just my vibe, right?
Yeah.
So he's getting his ass kicked on promos by MJF because he can't strike back because I don't know why. But like when he's in a promo battle and he's citing the Islander fans that are MJF fans, like that's kind of weak.
Yeah.
And so that WrestleMania line, it really got him.
Stuck him.
But CM Punk on Twitter last night.
Yep.
He dropped the C word. So in context, CM Punk put out a tweet being like, hey, look, don't stalk me at the airport looking for autographs.
Yeah.
And so somebody quote tweeted CM Punk and said, is this you? And it's a photo of CM Punk doing the crowd dive.
Yep.
In Chicago when he returned.
Yep.
And his response was to this guy, sure is me, you C word. At a show, post-vax, pre-Omicron virus, had to show proof of vax to gain entrance, not stalking anyone at an airport or a hotel. How stupid are you?
Yeah, he's checking out. He's probably sick of the travel.
It's not that CM Punk is checking out, Mike. It's, I don't know, you drop the C word?
On a fan.
In a tweet?
On a fan, someone you don't know. And I'm not saying
like that's bad.
Well, that's why I'm saying check out, Jimmy, because you can't.
No, check out isn't the right word. Annoyed is the proper word.
Okay, fine. Annoyed. But you can't say
that.
Because
if he's checked out, he's mailing in his matches and he's not doing that.
He can't say that to a fan. You can't drop that C word on a fan like that. And maybe. Okay, so, you know, I talk about the possibility of him going heel. Maybe this is the advent of it right here, because when has CM Punk been true full heel in AEW? He really hasn't. Maybe the Eddie Kingston thing, it could have been a double turn back in the fall, right? And they had that opportunity. They didn't do it. This could be the beginning of it here. Start on social media, shake things up a bit. And maybe this is the beginning of him becoming a heel right here. But right now, though, him not being into wrestling, maybe the annoyance factor of, you know, getting going to a different city and so forth, just wants to have his alone time. It's just not back into it. That's what I'm saying. Checked out. I know you're using that. You think it's too strong, just annoyed with it. But he hasn't been on the road, what, 7-8 years, right? He hasn't done all this stuff for a while. So he's just going to back in the groove.
So maybe Mike, my definition of checked out is like, hey, I'm at the end of this job and I don't really care because all I have on the calendar is the end date. And I'm not going to put in as much hard work as maybe I once would when I was motivated at the job. That's what checked out means to me.
Okay, fair enough.
I haven't seen CM Punk on camera be like just kind of going through the motions of a match or going through the motions on a promo or anything like that. If his promo or his match isn't good, I don't think that's from lack of effort. I think he's annoyed that he's getting harassed by people in the airport, which that's being a pro wrestler.
Did you see like, the tweet before that too? It was
basically stop harassing me, stop stalking
me alone.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Which it's great that he's going to say that, but the reality is it's not going to happen because you have the merch hounds out there. And that's the way it is. And what's sad is you can track people's flights, Mike.
I know.
Like there, you can go on the internet and find out when CM Punk under his real name is tracking flights because there's no protection there.
Yeah. It's and scary.
Like there used to be, I don't know if it's still a case now, but like, athletes, they used to stay at hotels under assumed names.
Oh yeah.
So like, If we had an interview to do with Keith Falk, I would need his hotel name.
Right.
Or if we had an interview to do with Terry Francona, I would need his hotel room name. Or Theo Epstein. And Theo Epstein always had Pearl Jam names.
Yeah.
You know, depending on the hotel.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah. No, it's sad. Like, obviously, in this social media world we live in right now, too, and so forth, there's no privacy. There's just no privacy at all. And especially for someone with that platform that CM Punk has, he's just probably not used to being back into that situation where he once was. And now it being larger than ever and more access to people, it's a whole new world for him. And he's just not into it as much, I think, anymore. Okay, the checked out word is strong. You're right. But I think we can both agree he's at the beginning of the end of his career, James. You mentioned that end date there, when to reach it. So maybe he's at the point, all right, let me just try to get to the finish line and then I'll go off in the sunset forever. Done. So why do I have to go 110% like I did 7-8 years ago now, where I can just try to strive to finish on 2 feet? So that's all it is.
So my closing point, I know that there's a lot of stuff. I want to save stuff for when we record on Sunday. And that includes like whatever happens tonight on Dynamite, SmackDown, the NXT releases, which tie into a bigger picture business thing that, quite frankly, I just need to flush out and figure out how I want to present it. So I know that there's some other stuff that is on your list of agenda, Mike. We'll get to that when we record on Sunday, okay?
Including Samoa Joe. Yeah, including Samoa Joe, all that
stuff. Samoa Joe, some of the creative staff, things like that. There's a bigger business thing, and I just have to flush out how I want to present my point because – and we might need content for Sunday.
Yeah,
right?
Fine, with plenty of time.
So here's my closing thing. Adam Page defeated Bryan Danielson to retain the AEW championship on the first episode of Dynamite on TBS a week ago, last Wednesday. I liked this match. Ended in about 29 minutes, 30 minutes. I was glad it didn't go to the hour draw. It didn't need to. I was glad that it had a finish. It was Mike McMahon of the Pro Wrestling Torch who compared it to an old school WWF in your house match between Bret Hart and the British Bulldog. I thought it was a great comparison. Mm-hmm. Bloody, hard hitting, and aggressive world championship match. The reason why I think it was great that it ended in 30 minutes is because both champion and challenger were just a bloody mess.
Yeah.
And so it was good. I think that this is the end of Danielson and Page for now. I know you don't. So tell me why you don't think it's the end yet.
Well, I think that they're going to try to have that trifecta, the third match. And now that we've seen Adam Page defeat Bryan Danielson in the first two matches, it just seems inevitable that Bryan Danielson will be the champion when he does face Adam Hangman Page again. And I think the simple storytelling here is to get to March 5th when that could happen. Now, here's the thing. You don't have – it's the middle of January right now. You still have a whole nearly, essentially, 2 months to go until that pay-per-view in Orlando for AEW. You don't have to start this feud again right away, keep it going right away. You can get that going the first week of February because – the groundwork has already been laid there between the two. You don't have to waste 2 full months on it again, where I think that would just be watering down the product. In fact, James, I was a little skeptical going into that first AEW Dynamite on TBS match with Danielson and Page because it was 3 weeks after their first match at Winter is Coming, right? And it just seems like it may have been a little too soon. It was almost like WWE-esque, if you will, where you see all these matches, revenge match, the following pay-per-view and so forth. It just seemed like this was too good of a match to have too soon after it. To McMahon's point of it being an in-your-house situation with Bret Hart and Bulldog, sure, that's great. And kind of an in-your-house feel. Yes, it was not on pay-per-view. It was the first of a new cable show, cable TV series, rather, you know what I mean, a channel, rather. I think that we're due for a big pay-per-view match because both of these matches have been on cable TV. So we're probably going to get it as soon as March 5th, and Danielson will be the champion over Adam Page.
I don't think the match happens on pay-per-view, Mike. I think they're done with Danielson and Page. I
think they're done all together, huh?
Yeah, I think Adam Cole's the next challenger.
That would be awesome, too. And that was a big tease right there for Adam Cole after Kenny Omega left.
Unless I misheard it, but I think on Rampage, the commentary put over that Adam Cole was going to be the next challenger for Adam Page,
which
I love.
Yeah,
I love the idea of Adam Cole and Adam Page. It should be an easy layup for Adam Page to win over Adam Cole, but they're going to put together a banger of a match.
Oh my gosh.
And all intertwined in this is the AEW version of the Undisputed Era, which I think has a new name, and I just
Paragon. Don't
Paragon. That's what it is.
They just put the copyright in there.
And when is Kenny Omega coming back?
I know.
So if Kenny Omega is coming back later, like say Kenny Omega's back on the pay-per-view, right?
Are we talking March or
March like pay-per-view?
May? Okay.
March pay-per-view.
Yep.
Get Adam Cole into the World Championship match now. And now being the pay-per-view. So when Kenny Omega's back, you can go full bore into Omega and the Bucks against Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Adam Cole. And then that's your program. And maybe that leads into Stadium Stampede. If they do another one of those matches, or if they do Blood and Guts.
Yeah.
That seems to make sense because that builds into later in the year. So Adam Cole being the challenger right now makes a lot of sense to me against Adam Page, because you want to clear that out. And it gives Adam Page, in the course of his championship run, a win over Omega to get the title, time limit draw, and a win over Danielson, and then a win over Adam Cole. That's a pretty good start as a champion.
It's a great start. And to your point on that, too, if we're not going to see Danielson and Adam Page, you have that in the back pocket, too, down the line. You could very easily open that up again for the third match of this series here. If we're not going the March route, if we're not, but you could have that down the line again where those two will have that trilogy match right there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because there's a story. I think there's a story to be told there, a trilogy, you know?
And they can save it for when Danielson wins the belt or there's a rematch. They have that in their back pocket.
Yeah.
So my question is, what's next for Bryan Danielson?
Yeah.
And if it's not taking time off, is it the TNT title? And is there a pay-per-view match where it's Cody versus Bryan Danielson?
I'd be in on that.
Or is it Sammy Guevara against Bryan Danielson? Is there a way that Danielson gets the TNT title? Because Danielson ran hard. Like, he's on TV every week. Different opponents, different styles, beating people different ways. And now, like, I could see him taking, say, a month off and then ramping back up again. Because I think Danielson should get a title soon. And it makes sense to make him the TNT champion. And if he wants to grapple every week, let's grapple every week.
Danielson literally came right out of the gate swinging. That pop at the summer pay-per-view or the Labor Day weekend, he showed up at the, was it All In or All Out? I can't remember. Help me out. Which one was that? All Out. Yeah.
All Out.
All Out. Unbelievable. And great matches over that time there, competing immediately for world titles, great matches with different superstars, different wrestlers. We highlighted this in the year in review show for 2021. That's why he was my pro wrestler of the year in 2021, what he was able to do, especially the last quarter of 2021. Amazing. Bryan Danielson has been fantastic. And that momentum there, maybe he does need a little break. Maybe he needs a little break there. He's carried, he's rung the answer to the bell for what AEW has asked for him. And I think gone above and beyond the Call of Duty, James. Above and beyond. And he's given the fans fantastic stuff to be proud of and to really enjoy. So if he needs the time off, or if he wants time off, give him all the time he wants and let him come back when the time is right to have that full impact of when he could be at the top of his game again, as good as he was over the last 4 or 5 months. Fantastic. So that's a fascinating question. What is next? again, that momentum is so hot there for that main event title. So I think something as simple as if he's willing to put the talent over with Guevara or even go for something as Cody Rhodes, I'd be fine with that. Make Bryan Danielson choose what he wants, though, because he has done everything right for AEW the last 5-6 months here.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Danielson's been great. Yep. And again, I would have put the world title on him, but that's me. Yeah. And now we move forward with Adam Page versus Adam Cole, we think.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, too.
Wherever that goes from there. Yep. Well, we'll be taping on Sunday. There's a lot of stuff still that we didn't get to on this episode, but we needed to crank out an episode because I failed on my vision for Sunday. So
yeah, but you know, we did the show and we wrapped it up. We got it done.
Yeah, this was this, and it's scheduling, right? So
that's right.
That'll wrap up. We'll be back Sunday. Yes, Sunday. Sunday at 8:30 is when we usually tape. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985thesportshub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.